I give you thanks. I give you thanks for all that you've done for me. Let the words spoken be yours. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. When Pastor asked me to give my testimony, he also let me know that I can share with you a burden that I have for the youth. So I'm going to combine it. I want to start by opening the Bible, and you could open your Bible to Romans 10, verses 14 and 17. Not 14 through 17, but 14 and 17. How then, well, I'll wait for you. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We're going to jump down to 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 23 years I lived a life without having heard the word of God. I went to church every Sunday, even if I was on drugs or hungover. I made my first communion, my confirmation, but I had never held a Bible or read the word of God. Where was I back then? I want you to see, because there's a story in the Bible that I so identify with. And the sad thing is that in working with youth, I see that they are identifying with this also. I praise God and I thank God for the Bible. If I could say anything in the world that I'm grateful for, it's for the Word of God, because that's what brought Christ into my heart. Open to Mark 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Mark 5, 1 through 5. I hear pages, so I won't read yet. And I love you to open to the passages, because that's what has the power, God's Word. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with the unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day she was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting herself with stones. I so identify with this man, because that's where I was before the Lord found me. God's word came to me, and I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am. You see, when I read his story, I could identify it, because I so believed in witches, in demons. And in sharing this with you, I know we're in a culture that so, because of its education, used to shun these things and think they were fantasies and fairy tales. But today things have really changed, and we're going to look at that in a minute. One thing about the Word of God, though, I've had to surrender. And I think that's the hardest part, is surrendering to what the Lord speaks to me. Not what people tell me or point at me, but what He speaks to my heart. But I give thanks and I give praise. And I want to tell you something, because I have a burden Something happened at the school where I'm teaching recently. We were doing a worship, which I praise God for being able to worship with these young people. And at times I worry because I know that it's to the point where many times people don't want to start the class with worship because it just takes too long. The kids, some of them even have said to me, "We're tired of hearing about Jesus." And don't take it wrong, that sounds bad, but they want to know issues that deal with them. So we were talking about rock music. And the Ouija board came up. And Dungeons and Dragons came up. And Harry Potter came up. Final Fantasy. Resident Evil came up. And these, most of them were Adventist kids, the majority. And I want to tell you again, this is based on Thanksgiving. Because the life I lived, I was tormented by Satan. And I know why now. But at the time, I would cry, "Why me?" I have many tattoos, and one tattoo I merely put on my body was "Born to Lose." That's the life I lived without Christ, 23 years. And the reason I bring this up about the youth is many times you guys, youth, even adults, even children or parents, we don't realize that when we play with Satan and his demons, they're not playing. When you play video games or read witchcraft material that's even focused at children, it's not a game. You may see it as innocent, but the demons don't. It's not popular to speak of this, and I'll tell you, the day when I was giving this devotional, I began to worry. I began to think, what are their parents going to think when they go back home and they say that their teacher had seen demons? I thought, uh-oh, this might create a problem. But the Lord spoke to my heart, and the next day I told them, "I'm going to bring you some verses, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And I want to share this verse with you. And the reason I'm doing it, and I want you to know the context, is in Thanksgiving. I thought in my mind, if these young people go back and tell their parents, they're probably going to think, what kind of stories is she telling? And they're not stories. These are things that really happened. And it turned to Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. But first, I want to say something. I want to be very careful. You here at Fallbrook did not choose me to work with the youth. Chris Fuentes did not choose me to work at the academy. God did. And for now, that's where I am. And my background, compared to an Adventist or a Christian who has been in the church all his life or her life, is very different. I have a totally different perspective than many here, but not all. And the reason God impressed me to share this with you is because a couple of weeks ago we gave a questionnaire out here in the church. I never got it back, Pastor. But it was interesting to find that there's youth here who are questioning that there is a God. Recently I took a trip to Hong Kong with the Pathfinders. The main head of the Pathfinder, Roger and Sally, were with us. It was a group of 63. It was a beautiful trip. But in the dorm, working with the girls, sleeping in the same room as the girls, Adventist girls who have been in Pathfinders many years, whose parents are leaders, are going through horrible things. Self-mutilation. One young lady had the date set for her suicide. So when I share this, there's a reason. Halloween was a month ago, and I'm in a class with many Adventist kids, many Christian kids of other faiths, and the whole thing was going to the haunted houses, somebody was going to throw a party, and they were giving out flyers here and there. But it's not popular to say this is something that God hurts God, because it hurts us. And the reason I come here is not to point a finger. And when I talk to kids and youth, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do it. I am just saying beware, because the devils are not playing. I know, because I was there. Harry Potter is, you know, it's funny. I was talking with my daughter and she said, you know the worst thing, Mom, about Harry Potter? Is that it's directed to kids. And I hadn't said anything. She just shot that out. But yet I know people who have been church members all their life buying the books for their kids. Am I saying you shouldn't? I'm saying beware what Satan is doing. Now let me read. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of the nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or who practices witchcraft, or soothsaying, or one who interprets omens or sorcery, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. On our way back from Hong Kong, the big thing that was on the little TV in front of us was Lord of the Rings. And I'll tell you that somebody asked me, come on, watch it, it's real good. In my heart, I knew it was wrong, and I sat there, and I began to watch it, and I said, stop. That is not from God. But we entertain ourselves with it. What is happening? Thanksgiving. I have to thank God that I don't see a little devil sitting in my window anymore. I have to thank God that when I go to a pharmacy, I don't see a man in a black coat wanting to strangle me. I praise God that now in my home, I don't wake up and run to my mom's bed where she's screaming because she saw a spirit pulling her soul. I'm thankful for that. And then I wonder, why are we inviting this stuff in the church? Not in the church, but our kids, our youth. It's one thing, youth, but when it's starting with kids, beware. But also, I want to say, be careful, brothers and sisters, of pointing fingers. Please. I don't go around reading this verse to trick-or-treaters. I don't tell people you should or you shouldn't. I won't tell you not to read Harry Potter or to read it. But God will speak to you if you don't drown them out with other things. In the context, even now, let's go back to Thanksgiving. I was not found in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And in a way, I have to thank God for that, because when I was found, my clothing, my makeup, my language, and you know what? My diet were horrible. If somebody would have came up to me and said, you're abomination because you're wearing this. Or if somebody would have came up to me and said, you shouldn't eat that. I may have used my hands to give a pretty bad expression to them. But God brought me in to people who were there who looked like Christ. They didn't preach the Bible to me. But something was different about them that I wanted. So be careful of pointing your finger, especially to the youth. God has called certain people to work with the youth. Don't hurt them. Don't hurt them because they're God's. I want to go and I'm going to read you a story. We're almost done. Because we're all very different. And I want to clarify something. Some of you may have heard this. There was a couple of apple trees planted many years ago in Washington State by a godly man who passed away and left all to his son, Jim Whitman. Jim was equally godly, and his sons also, Gary and Alex, who were killed serving God as missionaries in a foreign land. Jim was well endowed with years, yet as strong as ever, and every day Jim would go outside to those two apple trees and remember times past. His memories were vivid. Jim remembered the day his father came home from the war, no legs and in a wheelchair, and how he wept under those trees until the evening came. Jim also recalled his dear mother as she climbed one of those trees to rescue Puffy the kitten and bring her down to safety. Jim remembered his own fall from one of those trees. His crooked index finger testified of the fracture. But most memorable was when Jim proposed to his wife, Dorothy, as they carved their initials deep into one of those trees. Jim was alone now. All his family was resting in Christ, awaiting his return, and Jim was very lonely. At times, but his memories of love and worship and devotional under those two trees lived on in his mind. Well, one day Jim was out watering his groves, and he noticed a fungus developing on these trees. He called a specialist, and there are tree specialists, who came, and the guy said, you know what, Jim? Leave them alone. Build a little fence around these trees. Do not touch them. Do not pick the fruits. They're about gone. And Jim thought, you know, I'll do that. He put signs up and he said, stay out. His memories were there. Well, one day, Jim was on his way to town and he noticed a big black trunk on the side of the road next to Miller's Bridge. Jim slammed on the brakes, jumped out of his old pickup, and was impressed to run. When Jim opened the trunk, to his horror, there were two tiny boys inside. One covered with burns, and the other had his tiny eyes gouged out, and both were just about dead. Jim grabbed the trunk and rushed them to the closest medical facility and said, call whoever, do whatever, bring in any specialist, but please save them. Jim was very wealthy, and because of Jim, the tiny boys lived. Jim searched for the parents in news ads, America's Most Wanted, Unsolved Mysteries, but no results came. So the county gave custody of the two little boys to Jim, 3 and 4 year old, tiny boys. And Jim poured himself over them. His name, his wealth, his love, and his firmness, himself. Yes, Jim loved and taught these boys, and every night Jim would go out to those two apple trees and cry and pray for those boys. And new memories began. Time went on, and the two boys became teenagers. And Jim stressed one thing on his ranch. Don't pick the apple trees, the apples, because if you do, my memories will be gone. Precious memories, not all, Now I want to ask you a question. Was this such a hard thing to ask? Do you think if Jim asked his two missionary sons who died before they died not to do this, it would be difficult? How about the two boys? Knowing their backgrounds, what they may have gone through as they were children, it might have been different. It could have been different for the missionary boys. Maybe the two little boys he rescued would have more devotion and love than the two. The point is, every one of us, brothers and sisters, comes from a very different background. So when you point your finger at a youth, even if his parents are elders in the church, pastors, you're doing great harm. What is the saying? Better that you tie something on your neck and throw yourself in the sea, is what Jesus said, if you hurt one of my little ones. You see, I am from a totally different background. And I will tell you, I have struggled to stop eating meat because I know it's good for me. My mom was diagnosed with colon cancer, and the first thing they told her is stop eating meat. But it's a struggle for me. For some of you, it isn't, because you've been raised on great cooking all your life. But yet we point the finger. Clothing is another issue with our teens. We point our fingers, but you don't know what their home is like. You don't know how many dads have fathered different kids. And I say that from experience, because I went through that. And I think the Lord allowed me to go through that so I can understand somebody who's going through the same thing. You see, you can watch somebody get hit by a brick, but until you're hit by the brick, you really don't know how hard it hurts. Be careful who you're pointing at, please. I came to know the Lord, and I praise Him for His Word. God used Husto, my husband, who I met after giving my life to the Lord. And the pastor at the church I was at was a Assemblies of God church. He didn't have time to study with me. So I started working, and this girl said, there's this guy who always brings his Bible too. You guys should study. And it was Husto, my husband. And he introduced me to a woman. I praise God for her, because she gave me strength that if I wouldn't have had her in my life, if somebody would have came and told me about my diet or my clothing, I would have left the church. But she smiled so big, and she loved me so much. Her name was Hermana Paredes. And this is the text I want to leave with you, because I truly believe that thanksgiving for the Word of God and for taking me out of the wickedness of witchery, spells that we were in, it's a long story, but that was not happiness. And people, young people, if God says witchery is an abomination, it's not to kill your fun. It's because He knows it'll hurt you. In 1 Corinthians 9:19-22, this is what we need to do, or allow God to do in us. And I know there's visitors here, and I just want to let you know that I tried everything in my life to fill the empty void that was here. Everything. And it came to the point where I no longer wanted to live. And that's a whole nother story. And it wasn't attention, but my father came home and found me in the back of my car in the garage, and I was unconscious. I had started the engine, and I wanted to die. And he worked in San Francisco. We lived an hour away on BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit. And something told him to leave. I know God has had a plan for me. And if there's any visitors, know that you could search the world and you'll never find true peace if you don't have Christ. And that's also for you young people. You could go to every party, every rave. You could thrill yourselves. And I know the witchcraft and those movies, something about it is fun and exciting, but it leads to death. It really does. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ. That I might win those who are without law. Now listen to this. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might point out their errors and tell them their bad and wrong. Is that what it says? That I might by all means save some. You know, Hermana Paredes didn't point at the things that I was doing wrong. She didn't even show me a text from the Bible. She lived it. And that's my prayer, is that God will come into our hearts. And the Word of God for me has been my life. I can't live, and that's where Satan will attack you, young people and adults. He'll make you so busy earning a living, so busy doing homework, that we have no time for God. He does it to me. He really does. And my prayer is that we could be grateful for what God wants to do in us. He wants to come. Do you think He enjoys seeing two little girls being murdered and raped? Satan is working, but we're too busy sometimes reading things that do us no good, watching things. I just pray right now, and I ask you, let us kneel and pray that God will rain His Holy Spirit so we can see Him come, and that our youth who are surrounded by wickedness can have hope in Him. Dear Father, Papi, I praise You for saving my life. I have so much more that I need to learn, but I know You will do a work in Your time with all of us. So much wickedness on our left, on our right. I bet each and every little child has even seen posters or commercials on wickedness. And Father, I just pray that Jesus, Your Holy Spirit, live in our lives now, today. I'm asking now that we accept, Father, as a congregation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every visitor, let them know that without You, life means nothing. Every church member, Lord, let us open our eyes to what our kids are watching and listening to. Don't let us think that it's fanatics that bring up this stuff, but let it be Your Word that touches our hearts. And I pray, Father, for the youth. I know that You have a powerful and mighty plan for the EAA Academy and for the youth there. I saw it in the Bible studies. I saw how Satan attacked it. And I pray, Father, that You'll touch every young person here, that they can be a mighty and powerful weapon for Jesus. And I pray, Father, More than anything, that a church will be ready without spot and without wrinkle, but that that will come by your power, not our own. You work in us, Father. I pray this in your holy name, Jesus Christ, my friend, my Savior, and my Lord. Amen.